Jesus is in this room, here and now, here and now, making this place I stand holy ground, holy ground. Your spirit moves and breathes all around, all good and perfect things flowing down, flowing down. All of the heavens are singing along with the saints and the elders, glorious song. And the praises they sing never seem to get old. I'll stay here forever singing, holy, holy, holy Lord. God Almighty over all. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. Holy, holy Lord. You're gently calling me closer still, closer still. You're gently guiding me to do your will, do your will. Gentle love calling me closer still, closer still. You're guiding me to you, do your will, to your will. All of the heavens are singing along, and the saints and the angels in glorious song. The praises they sing never seem to get old. I'll stay here forever singing, holy, holy, holy Lord. God Almighty over all. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. Holy, holy Lord. God Almighty over all. The veil is torn and the doors fling wide. See glory as I run inside the throne room. Before you I bow. The veil is torn and the doors fling wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne room. Before you I bow. Singing holy, holy Lord. God Almighty, you're over all. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. Holy, holy Lord. Holy, holy Lord. Holy, holy Lord. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Apostle Prophet Susie is going to come now and share. Hey, when it happens that many times, you just give up and give in, you know?
It's the Susie part that's most important to me, so. Considering that that's my nickname, not my legal name, so. Well, I'm really glad to be here with you all. I mean, I truly am. And I want to share a scripture with you right out, and that's John 15:9. It's a very simple scripture. Jesus says that as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. And what I want to share with you this morning is that that abiding place in the love of God is a real, tangible place. It's a place that Jesus himself lived and was sustained as he ministered here on the earth. You know, it's a place when we abide in the love of God, it's a place where our soul is nourished. It's a place of protection. It's a place of creativity. I don't know anything more creative than someone who's in love. Because when you are in love, there is just a fountain of creativity that rises up in your heart that thinks of ways, excuse me, and ways and things to do so that you can be with the one that you love, so that you can have experiences with the one that you love, so that you can have memories with the one that you love. And do you know that our Father loves us so much that he wants to have those places, that there's a creativity in his heart over you, over each and every one of us individually, where God will plan moments of encounter that's just for you, to build memories, to have encounters with his love that fill your heart, that impacts your DNA, that causes how you think to even shift and change. Because, you know, when we are in love, when we are filled with love, when we look out in the world, everything looks brighter and better. And when we encounter the love of God over and over and over again, because he makes that available to us, because he says, I want you to not only have my love, I want you to live in this place. I want you to abide. That word abide means dwell. It means that there's a place here that you can come and you can stay. And so in that place of his love and encountering his love over and over again, sometimes he'll come humorous. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced the jokes of God, but he does tell jokes. He has great irony, and he plays on words, and it's funny. And it's wonderful, and I never knew that about God until I started to abide in his love. I would have thought God tell jokes. You know, what kind of a person are you to say something like that? Don't you know God is kind of this stuffy thing? But that's why he wants us to abide in his love, is because it's relationship. It's about relationship, personal relationship. In 1 Corinthians 13, we call that the love chapter. And it talks about love throughout that whole chapter. And I'm not going to go here and teach on this, but I will at least point this out, because I'm sure you don't know chapter 13 is between chapter 12 and 14, right? Well, the reason I say that is because chapter 12 and 14 are about moving in the gifts of the Spirit. And what God has given you and put in you so that you can release it and bless other people. And the love chapter is in between, because what God is saying, he says, everything that I've put within you, all of the gifts and all of the desires, he says, I want that to be rooted in my love. So that as you pour out what I have put in you and given to you, that it's coming through the medium of my love. And that word love, in 1 Corinthians 13, that in the Greek, that's agape love. which is the kind of love that God has for us. It's a binding love. It's a love that supersedes every other kind of love. But as I've been reading the Passion Translation, they also have a footnote on that chapter that says the Aramaic word for love is called Huda, H-O-O-D-A, if you want to look that up in your... only place I know where to find it is the footnote on 1 Corinthians 13. But what that word, that Aramaic word means is set on fire. And so what that is, the concept of, is that God's love for us is fiery. It's passionate. It's full. And he wants us to have that kind of love back for him. A love that's passionate and full. It goes on to say in that footnote that fiery love that he has for us, that he puts in our heart, that it continues to release energy into our bodies and into our souls, even into our thoughts, that it's a source of energy that feeds us. There's a little phone thing going on, but they'll fix it. And so that's the kind of love that God's talking about when at the very end of 1 Corinthians 13, where it says that there's love and there's faith and there's hope, but the greatest of these is love. Because it's out of love that hope springs up. It comes out of that place of love, that fiery love. And it's a love that binds. It goes on to say in the footnote in the Passion that Huda love, that agape love, that the understanding of it in that day was that it is a love that binds relationships together so that they can't be separated. And that makes me think about the scripture at the end of Romans 8, where Paul says, "Nothing can separate me from the love of God." And then he goes on with this big list, like life or death or angels or powers or principalities or situations and circumstances. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, Paul says, to me personally or in the earth or even in the universe, nothing can separate me from this binding, fiery love of God, because God himself is love. He is love. He tells us that in the word, that he is love, that his love is filled with passion and fire for us. And so Jesus is saying, this is how I lived. I lived in the love of the Father. And as the Father poured out his love on me, so I pour out my love on you. Now abide in my love. It says in Romans 5:5, in the King James Version, which I think is how most people know this, is it says that God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. And what that means is, shed abroad just means pour. And so as the Father poured love into Jesus, so he pours that same love into us so that we have an abiding place. Now, you know that that's a bunch of love. That's a real estate of love. If we're going to live there, that's real estate. That means that it's not this little puny dot, or it's not the mustard seed, but it has depth, and it has width, and it has height, and it has dimension, and it's full. It's living. It has a sound. It has a fragrance. It has a flavor and a taste. You know, the word says, taste and see that I'm good. You know, all of those dimensions of this abiding place of love come right from scriptures. That there is a place where we are protected, you know. When I think of all of Psalm 91 that talks about coming into the shelter of the Most High, that's the abiding place of his love. When I think about the scripture in Isaiah 40 that says, mount upon wings of eagles. You know, so that you can walk and not grow weary and run and not faint. I might have said that backwards, but you know what I mean. That's the abiding place of his love. Because the very beginning of that scripture says when we wait upon the Lord, and that word wait there means when we're bound together with him. Well, that word love literally means to be bound with him. You know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, comes because we are united with Christ. There is a life union that we have where Christ is in us. And that is our hope and our promise, our seal of hope. And in that place of union with Christ, there's an abiding place of love that continually feeds us and gives us dimension, gives us answers, supplies our heart and our emotions with everything that we need and beyond. It makes us stable. Now, I didn't always know this about the love of God. You know, maybe if it's your gift, if the love of God is your gift, you just float in this naturally from the beginning. Well, God gave me revelation gifts, and he gave me the ability for revelation just to flow out of scripture and for me to hear his voice. Those things came naturally to me. It didn't come naturally to me to understand the love of God or to know that it was an abiding place or how to enter into it and to receive from it. Because way back in another season, I didn't know how to approach God in a relationship way. I believed the gospel. I knew that God loved me, but I did not understand how to come into an abiding place of love so that it continually nourished me and fed me. And what I know about the devil is that every attack that he brings against me and all the people that I know, bottom line, is an attack against the heart. It is something that will break your heart, divide your heart, separate out things from your heart, or a place where you build walls in your heart of self-protection because of things experienced or things that you're fearful of. And so this whole thing about our heart is a battleground where the enemy says, I have a battle plan of assault against you and those that you love to bring fragmentation into your heart, to cause you to be afraid to love, to cause you to hold back, to cause you to not give, to cause you to have sorrow and grief that is never healed. That's the enemy's plan. And in my life, at a different time in my life, the enemy was pretty successful in bringing all of those things into my heart and making them kind of resident. And often, I lived in that place. I didn't live in the abiding love of God. When we live in the abiding love of God, all of those fractured and fragmented and hurt places are totally healed and sealed. They're healed and sealed by the fire of this love. And this is for real. It's not an allegory. You know, God says he's love. He also says he's a consuming fire. And so sometimes I was even afraid to give my heart to God because I didn't know if my heart was enough because there were these fractured, broken places. And so I'd kind of separate those places off and close some doors and say, well, this part of my heart, Lord, you can have this part. You can abide here, and I can connect with you here, but I want to tell you that for me, that was not a place of ongoing fountain of love, which is what God says we can have. If we open up all of the doors to our heart and allow that abiding love to come in so that there's real estate and a place of connection. So I want to share with you just a little bit about how I learned how to connect with the abiding love of God. And I'm most likely going to get emotional. So I have my pocket stuffed with Kleenex. Because this is a very emotional thing for me, but this is probably one of the hardest things God's ever asked me to do. Plus, I can't even wear my glasses because I know I'm going to cry, so I can't read my notes. But I do have them. But anyway, I want to tell you that there is a pillar in this church, a mother in this church whose name is Bev Smith. And she became a mother to me, a spiritual mom to me, way back in the early 90s, actually the late 80s. But she built a relationship of love with me. And then she taught me how to love God openly, freely, and to come into this river and to live in this river. Bev's gift, in my opinion, is the love of God. And if you know Bev, you've experienced this river over and over again. Because there was no end to this river of love. Because it was God's river. And she let it flow and let it flow and let it flow to everyone. I remember, there are so many things that Bev did for me on a personal, you know, relationship level. Because I'm a grandma now. But back then, my kids were little. And they were young. And I remember her helping me when I was come up against situations with my kids and not knowing how to handle them. I would go to Bev, and she would give me the love of God to release into that place. I remember one time having to have an MRI, and I was afraid of being in that machine. And so Bev took her time, came to the Southfield, wherever it was, where I went and got my MRI, and she sat at the top of the MRI machine while I was in there, and it was making all of its noise, and she sang songs over me. This is what the Father does. It tells us in the Word that the Father sings love songs over us. I'd never heard that from the Father before. I had to hear it from this mother first. But she sang love songs over me while I laid in the MRI machine. Who would do that? Who would take their time to do that? Well, Bev carried this mantle of love. And I don't know if you know, but Bev's in the middle of making her transition into heaven. She's been battling cancer for a long time. God arrested it for a period of years, and she had, you know, great opportunity to have many more memories with all the people that she loved and then bring more into that love tank. But now it's her time to go home. And so there's a mantle of love that is a legacy for each one of us that is being released, that God wants us to have. He wants us to have this mantle. This is a time of expansion. You've heard the prophets say this over and over again. And so how does God take the mantle from one person and then multiply it this many times and even more than that? That's God's math. That's how he does things. And so this morning, My assignment, and it is an assignment from God, is to release this mantle of love so that we become clothed in this mantle of love in a fresh, new way. That it doesn't make any difference where you are in your love relationship with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. He's going to take it to a new place today. Because that's why we are here. That's why he has you here. It's for a purpose. is for an impartation, is for a release of a dimension that he wants to sow into you this morning that will be a turning point and a changing place in your life from this day forward. How good is our God? How good is our God? So I think I'm through my crying place, but I can't tell for sure, but I got to put my glasses on to do this next part. The Lord had me read Song of Songs in the Passion, and then he had me bring together a bunch of phrases from that book. And I really encourage all of you to read it in the Passion. I mean, it is beyond beautiful. It was the first time I really ever... excuse me, even understood Song of Songs. So let me tell you that the whole book is a conversation between Jesus and the bride, and we are the bride. And so these are phrases that the bridegroom is speaking to each one of you and to us corporately. And in this, I'm going to speak it to you prophetically, and in this, he's releasing to you a mantle of love that is a legacy and a heritage to us here in this place at Harvest. Or even if you just come to Connecting Point, it's okay, because Bev was always here at Connecting Point. So Song of Songs 1:4, and I'm not going to give you any more references. The rest of them, I'm just going to read his phrases. But I'm going to start with this one. Draw me into your heart. We will run away together into the king's cloud-filled chamber. We will remember your love, rejoicing and delighting in you, celebrating your every kiss as better than wine. No wonder righteousness adores you. So right now, there's a wooing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws us by his wooing. And in that place of wooing, in that place of drawing, it's a continual pull to bring you closer and closer and to release to you an increase. So that's what you're going to experience. That's what's going to happen for all of us, myself included. It's going to take us into a deeper place in Christ. It's going to take us into a place in love that if you have walls, the walls will come down. That if you have fragmentation, that the fiery love of the Father will seal your heart back together. And that it will be as new. There won't even be scars. That it heals. And a love that causes expansion. So you'll walk out of here with a bigger heart than you've ever had before. More compassion, more understanding, more patience, more endurance. Because all of those things are rooted in love. Rooted in love. So I'm going to read over to you. These are all excerpts from Song of Songs. And I'm going to read them over to you as a prophet. And the reason that I'm doing it, that it's coming through that gift, and it's the whole reason I feel like probably the Lord had me to even be here to be your speaker today, is because when the words come in the gift of the prophet, it breaks open places. And so if there's been any place of resistance, any place where you've like, Lord, I want this, but it hasn't seemed to happen, that prophetic edge will just break it open. And cause it to enter in and expand. It'll cause you to align just supernaturally because of the gift of the prophetic. It'll cause you to align supernaturally with what it is that God wants you to do. And there's no effort into receiving. It's just a penetration and a saturation. Like tomorrow, it saturate Detroit. This morning, it saturate your heart. With the love of the Father in a way that you've never experienced the depth of this love. We know that Paul prayed over the Ephesians. In chapter 1, he prayed over the Ephesians. He said, I want the eyes of your heart to be open Because he says, I want you to have wisdom and revelation by the Spirit. But because he wanted you to have it was so that you would know the intimacy or the love of God in a life-changing way. And then he went on again. He prayed for the Ephesians again in chapter 3. And in this, he prayed that the Ephesian people would know the width and the height and the depth and the dimensions of God's love in such a way that they would be totally transformed. And that's what God's love does. It totally transforms who we are. You know what it transforms us into? What he wanted us to be, what we were originally. You know, the word tells us in Psalms that God knew us in our unformed substance. Whoa, what does that even mean? And then it says that he knit us together in our mother's womb. So then at least there's something that you can start to see that there's a shape. But when I was in my unformed substance, I wasn't even a shape. But God knew me and loved me. I knew God's love then. I knew it. I was one with his love. I don't have any memory of that, but the word tells me it's true. It's true for all of us. It tells us in the word that we were with him before the foundation of the world. And we were with him in love. In love. That fiery, passionate love where God says, I am love that binds and seals that nothing can separate. Nothing can separate. No circumstance, no ugly word, no situation, no from your past, now, or the future. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. He has had us from the time that we had no form. And he will have Bev all the way through the gates and back into his heart in heaven and the place where we will all be when God says it's time. This is no mushy thing. This is a binding, empowering, defining love that there is nothing like this. So receive this. The one I love calls to me. I have come, says the Lord, to draw you to my heart and lead you out, to lead you out of confinement, to lead you out of hurt, to lead you out of places where you've kept fenced in because of your uncertainty or your fear. The Lord says, today I break those doors down by my love, and I fill you with my love. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. For the Lord says, I'm calling you out, and I'm calling you up. I'm calling you into the place that I've created you to be, and I say that truly now is your time, that you are my beloved, and I love you. That there is no disappointment in me for who you are and where you are at, even now. For the Lord says, I've always had you, and I will continue to have you and bring you into the fullness of all that I've destined for you. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing has arrived. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. Whoa, seeds of dreams. The secret places of your heart, says the Lord, where you've barely even uttered the word to yourself because it's so deep and so precious the things that I've promised and I've said to you. But the Lord says, I will bring them forth. I will bring them about. My love is capable. My love is capable to build. My love is capable to connect. My love is capable to fill. And my love is capable to bring you into the fullness of every promise that I've spoken in your heart. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whisper, there is change in the air. The Lord says, this is a day of change, but do not be afraid of the change, for I carry you in my heart. And I'm saying, opening my heart, open your heart to a greater union with me, says the Lord. For I am here to invade your heart in a way that is new and fresh. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. Your inward life is now sprouting, bringing forth fruit. We're in a harvest season. And God says the fruit is going to arise right out of your heart, right out of the love relationship that you have with each other. You with him and him with you. The Lord says some of the things you do not even know that I have planted deep inside of you. But this is the season that I will start to make those seeds visible to you. And you will start to know the great dimensions of the future that waits for you. For this is a time to step into your future, says the Lord. For I'm calling you up. I'm calling you out. And I'm calling you into. What a beautiful paradise unfolds within you. Now grow in the inner garden of your heart. Your life now flows into mine, pure as a garden spring. A well of living water springs up from within you. I am breathing upon you with my spirit wind. Receive my wind. Receive my breath. Receive my wind. Receive my breath. Let my breath go into the depths of your heart. Let my breath expand you. Let my breath lengthen and deepen the encounters that we've had. For the Lord says this is a new day and a new dimension that I'm breaking open inside of your heart. Embrace it and come with me, says the Lord. Do not be afraid, for my love covers. My love covers, and you will not be uncovered because my love covers you. A well of living water springs up from within you. I am breathing upon you with my spirit wind. I am stirring up the sweet spice of your life within me, says the Lord. I am sparing nothing. I am sparing nothing, says God. I am sparing nothing. All of heaven backs what I am releasing. All of heaven is aligned to this moment and this time for you. I give you my all. My fragrance will be released from within you. I am walking with you as I walked with Adam in the garden. Come taste the fruits of your life in me. Open your heart, darling, deeper still to me. My ways are the ways of righteousness, based upon truth and holiness. Nothing can rival me and my love for you. Most sweet are my kisses, even the whispers of my love. Out of your innermost being will flow the fullness of my spirit, never, never, never failing to satisfy, for you will be satisfied. For the Lord says much fear and much separation of hearts comes because of disappointment in completing and being satisfied. But the Lord says this is a season of satisfaction. So trust me. Hold on to me, and I will lead you into the place of fullness of satisfaction, and you will be filled, and you will be satisfied, and you will feel complete. Yet there will be room for more, says the Lord, because I will continue to expand you and bring you from height to height and depth to depth and width to width as you receive the love of my heart in you. In a deeper and deeper place. Fasten me, says the Lord, upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living, consuming flame will seal you as a prisoner of my love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave. All-consuming as the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God, place this fierce, unrelenting fire of my love over your entire being, says the Lord. Rivers of pain and rivers of persecution will never extinguish the flame of my love. Nothing can separate you from my love, for you are bound and sealed in my love, says the Lord. You are bound and you are sealed in my love. Everything will be consumed. My love will stop at nothing as you yield everything to this furious fire that is my love. For I am a consuming fire, says the Lord. But a fire not to be feared, but a fire to be embraced. Because in the heat and passion of my love, I will form you, and I will shape you, and I will fill you for this new era that has opened up, that now you cross the threshold into, says the Lord. You have nothing to fear. For I have prepared you, and I have made you, and I have filled you, and I will watch over you. The words I've spoken to you in promise and in love, I will fulfill, says the Lord. So hear me, tune your ear to the subtleties even of my voice. For even as Moses wanted to meet me face to face, the Lord says, even as you cry out to me in the secret place and say, Lord, just to see your face, you will have encounters with me, says the Lord, that are face to face encounters that will refine and define and make you into all that I determined even before the foundations of the earth, says the Father. For the Father says, you are in the palm of my hand. You are in the secret place, and the secret place is the depths of my love. And you cannot be stolen out of that place. No weapon formed against you can take you out of my love, says the Lord. It is a place where you can have confidence, where you can have surety. It is a place that he says he's rooting you in his love because of the era, because of what is going on in culture. That love that is going to come through you is going to be a whole new dimension. The love that he's shedding abroad in our hearts, walking into this new time, this new era, will provoke those that are caught up in the culture of today. It will provoke them to know what it is that you carry. God says, it all came down to this. I so love the world that I gave and I give and I keep on giving until everything is aligned to my perfect will. And my love will bring you into the alignment of my perfect will. It's not by striving. It's not by doing. But it's by believing and it's by loving. Even as He has so freely loved us, He wants us to release that love. The two greatest commandments are love the Lord our God, and then to love our neighbor even as we love ourselves. I used to snicker at the second one because I did not love myself for many years. You know, maybe you never went through that struggle. But I went through that struggle for a lot of years where I used to think, well, that won't be hard. I don't like me. I don't like you. I mean, it was very sarcastic, but that is really the verbiage that I would share inside of my head. I didn't say that out loud, but it certainly was the thought of my heart. It reflected the fracture and fragmentation of my heart in that time. But I'm here to tell you that I know the love of God now. I've been experiencing the love of God. I've learned how to just enjoy Him. I have learned to let go of guilt and condemnation and performance mentality and all of those things. And I jump in the river and I'm just like, where are we going? It's an adventure. There's something to see. There's something to experience. But it's not just experience to experience, it's experience to give. Because as He freely gave to us, He wants us to freely give. Not because we agree in politics or agree in religion or agree about raising kids or whatever else you can think of that would bring people together in agreement. The Lord says it's because I made the earth, and it's mine, and everything in it. And I want you to see all of mankind and all of my creation through my eyes, and my eyes and my lens is the lens of love. So the Lord says, know that that's part of the dimension of why I'm moving in this place of love in your heart. It's because it will give you a new lens to see all that's going on social media, all that's going on in the news media, all that's going on in your family, all that's going on in your finances, all that's going on in your relationships in a whole new way. And if you allow my love to flow into every one of those places, you'll be blown away by my supply, by my transformation, by the victories that I will bring. Amen.